Good morning. We are under another spike with COVID, and for the next few Sundays, we will be doing a recorded sermon. We have closed down our live sessions to protect and keep others from hopefully contracting this virus. But I'm not in an empty sanctuary. The Lord God is here. And even as I record, I'm fully aware that by the time you see and hear this, the Lord will be ministering to you. And so we do this wanting to give glory to His name, wanting to be sure that the word goes out and people have a chance to have a worship experience as close together as we can. But we are confident that the Lord God Almighty is the Lord God Almighty. And in spite of all the different things that are going on in this world, He is still on His throne. He is still with us. And we can take great joy and comfort and strength in that. So I invite you to join with me in prayer now. And let us spend time with God. Almighty God, I come to you in the strong name of Jesus, thanking you that you are the God who comes. You come into our lives every day. You're with us, but when you come to us, as the psalmist would pray, you make yourself known and you move upon us and you touch us and you change us. And Father, right now, we need you to come upon our land, to come upon the body of Christ and to renew us and to strengthen us and to refocus us. Father, to give us hope and peace and joy in a time that it's very hard to understand those things. Almighty God, I pray that you minister to us and that this season of Advent, which by its very nature is a time of waiting and anticipation, expectation, Father, help us to wait. Wait upon the coming of your Son and might and power into our lives and the lives of people around this world. That we use the waiting time while we're apart to focus our need to come together into your presence. Help us, O Lord, to hear you. Move upon us. Bring healing to those who are battling this or other illnesses, bring healing to those who are struggling with the pains of life. Father God, move upon us in a mighty way. And may this bring honor to your name. I ask through Christ. Amen. Well, this is the Sunday of joy, the Sunday of rejoicing. It takes its idea from the songs of praise within the scriptures surrounding the Lord's incarnation, and it is a time of joy, although it's not always easy to see that. Talitha Arnold talks about a time in our country, happened during the 40s into the 50s, a 10-year experience of drought in the American Southwest, and it was a terrible event. Century-old trees were dying, exposed to bark beetles, and dying by literally the thousands. The once green landscapes turned gray throughout northern New Mexico. Longtime residents felt like it was a death in the family. And then one summer, the rains came. And within days, flowers sprang up by the thousands. People couldn't believe what they were seeing. There were every patch of ground covered with yellow cowpin daisies, purple asters, and other flowers, some of which hadn't been seen in the region for centuries. But it wasn't just the rain. It was also the decaying pinyon trees that provided mulch for much of the area. And out of what seemed like death came rebirth. Out of what seemed like a hopeless situation, came a time of joy as people rejoiced with new life in their dry land. Well, in all honesty, 2020 has felt like a wasteland. It has seemed like a desert area with COVID raging once again, spiking in huge numbers, with social unrest all throughout the world, violence and hatred. It seems like there is absolutely nothing to hold on to. Thousands walking through this world like they're walking in a time of complete devastation with no hope. We're dry. We're barren. And we're not sure what will happen. And there's little that we can do about that. But during this season of Advent, we need to remember that God is on His throne. This time of Advent, this particular year, reminds us that we've never been in as much control as we thought. We have very little control over our destinies and the destinies of this planet. There's not much we can do in this time to fix it. But there is one whose hand is moving. We don't know what He's going to do. We don't know how He's going to act, but nevertheless, God is moving. And I believe that when we listen to the psalm of this day in Advent, this day of joy, we hear a cry of expectation, a sounding note of joy, a belief and a testimony of faith that God is still God that can help us in our day today. So let's take a look at our text. Take a look at this incredible passage of Scripture and know that God is still on His throne. We'll be looking at Psalm 126 today. It's one of the songs of ascent in the book of Psalms, a group of songs that many scholars believe were sung by people on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. It may have been after the exile, making their way back home. It may have been a group of pilgrims going to Jerusalem to worship. But they believe that these songs were sung as a group, looking forward to that moment they could be at Zion. So let's hear what the psalmist had to say. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. The psalmist in our text is looking back at a moment when God moved, looking back to a moment when God did something amazing among His people, and that becomes a basis, a promise, a note of expectation that God will once again restore His people. God is going to renew them. This is the cry of this song. It does have an element of lament, Lord, help us, but it has an incredible amount of strength and faith and praise. The Lord has done good things, and we are glad. And so in this moment of COVID, in this moment of strife, in this moment of fear and pain, we need to hear what the psalmist was saying, and we need to understand the message that God is giving us today, what He is wanting to remind us, His people, at this moment in time, because this text reminds me, folks, that the power of God's renewal, when God moves upon His people to restore them, when God moves upon His people to forgive, when He moves upon His people to save, joy becomes possible. Joy becomes real. And we have the hope of a renewal. We have the hope of a restoration of God's people and a restoration of even this world as a whole when God brings all to a close. And that restoration means joy. But it's hard to believe in joy right now. It's hard to see that joy is even a possibility. And if you ask me, is it even possible? I say yes. As long as we remember the truths that the psalmist lays out before us, truths that can carry us to joy. So let's take a look at the very first truth of our text today. And that truth declares that God's act of renewal brings much needed delight. God's act of renewal brings much needed delight. When you hear this song, and I can imagine thousands of people making their way back to Jerusalem from exile, or hundreds or tens or twenties making their way to Jerusalem to worship. I can imagine them singing this song and having all of a sudden a lightness in their step, because they looked back and the psalmist described the dreamlike wonder that was in the heart of God's restored people. When you restored our fortunes, we were like those who were in a dream. And if you've ever had one of those dreams that are so powerful and meaningful and rich and real that you hated waking up and maybe even tried to get right back to sleep to continue the dream, then you'll understand this thought. We were like those who were dreaming. We were filled with laughter. We were shouting songs of joy. It was more than we could actually believe. See, our psalm today looked for signs of God's promise in dark and difficult times by looking backward and seeing what God had done. Memories of days gone by. And in the first three verses of this text, we have this beautiful image. And we see this instinctual, this surprising, this wonderful, this amazing moment of almost over-the-top ecstasy. When you moved on us, we laughed. When you moved on us, we shouted with joy. When you moved on us, we were so touched that others took notice. And the verbs that are talking about being filled are passive verbs. This is not a voluntary, let's cheer ourselves up. They're overwhelmed with what God has done, and it's bursting out of their lives, out of their hearts, and they're absolutely, positively moved with joy. It's spontaneous, it's rich, it's powerful, and it's true. It touched them in an amazing fact. But this isn't, when they look back, this isn't a bittersweet look back and, man, I wish we could be laughing again. No, they're looking back and it's causing them to hope. It's bringing them joy at that moment. They hope that once again God would move, that God would fill their mouths with laughter, with songs of joy. The joy of days gone by have penetrated their lives. And I hope that you notice the text. He says, when you did this, we laughed. And then he says, we have been touched by your hand. You have done amazing things for us. And we are glad. Not we were glad, not one day it was great. He says, right now, as we look back, we are glad because of what you've done for us and how you've moved in our lives. They were wanting God to restore them. They were wanting God to give them hope. They were wanting God to give them life. And folks, when we remember the good things that God has done, we can find wonder renewed in our lives. Just like those saints of old. When Israel's spontaneous joy reached up, when they remembered what God had done and it brought them hope and laughter, folks, it can speak to us in Advent. We can too. Each one of us can look back into our lives and see moments when things were so amazing and so real and so powerful that we couldn't help our laughter. We wanted to sing. We wanted to have an amazing time because good memories make life meaningful. We can look back and remember a time when God seemed so real, when he saved us, when he moved upon us. We can remember when out of our own mouths came laughter and joy and songs. We can remember the corporate joy. There are many of you listening and watching today who can remember a time years ago when things seemed so different. Our churches were full. We saw the hand of God moving. We believed that God was doing something absolutely amazing in our midst. And it was wonderful. We were sharing our faith. We were telling people, we want to see the world touched by the year 2000. We were telling each other, we can see God move in a way that is absolutely, positively amazing. And then we can just look back in life. Times when our families were able to be together and the word quarantine did not apply in our lives. We can look back to moments of peace and joy. And those moments do bring gladness, don't they? I shared with you recently a song of Pat Terry, Lord, Meet Me Here. Meet Me Here. Listen to these words from the same pen. When I die, there won't be much to salvage from my earnings. I never had a lot of land or houses to my name. I've never been a corporate prince on Madison in New York. I never held a diamond in my hand. But I've seen children laughing as only children can. And I've known my Creator, and I've been a happy man. I never really loved the way I saw it in the movies, but I have myself a woman of my own. The place we lived was modest, and we kept the yard together. I never traveled far from my hometown. But I've heard music playing that made me understand and touched the hearts of heaven, and I've been a happy man. Life has had its hard times when I felt the chill of winter. I can't forget the night when my sweet Julie slipped away. But growing old is different than I ever thought it would be. The sweetness of my youth just grew with age. 'Cause I've known wealth and beauty beneath his guiding hand, and knowing soon I'll see him has made me a happy man. Knowing soon I'll see him has made me a happy man. Folks, when we look back at those good times, let's remember the Psalms, this particular Psalm. When they look back, they didn't just park in memories. They just didn't look back. Instead, because of what they saw, they looked forward in hope, in expectation, in belief that God will move, and we need to let that happen to us. We've already celebrated all that God has done for us. So when we remember what God is doing, when we look at that, folks, we can't live in the past. We must look ahead. We must move ahead. So please, more so now than in a long time, we need to see. So let us focus our hearts on the good things God has done in our lives. And we've already looked at these in Advent. God has given us hope. Hope of new life in Jesus Christ. Hope that one day he will return and bring all this to a close and bring us home. We have looked at a peace that passes understanding, that comes in the middle of the storm and gives us a reason to hold on. And now we look at this amazing joy that is ours, so we can take heart in what God has done. And instead of just looking back at the past and sighing, We can look back at the past and say, God, you moved on us once before. Give us faith to believe you will do it again. Memories of what God has done bring us joy. And then we can take a look at our second truth. God's act of renewal brings power to our joyful testimony. God's act of renewal brings power to the testimony that is rightfully ours in Jesus Christ. You see, God's actions for his people that would not go unnoticed in their world. The psalmist said, they're going to see and they're going to respond. Because here's the beauty. In Psalm 79, the nations of the world that were able to watch Jerusalem fall, to watch Babylon destroy them, were mocking and sarcastically asking, where is their God now? And now the psalmist is saying, they have to recognize that he's alive. That he's alive and he's real and he's moving upon our people. They were watching these pilgrims walking in joy, these pilgrims singing, these pilgrims coming home, these pilgrims being restored, and they're filled with joy. They're filled with hope. They're filled with peace. And the nations of the world have to say, there's no other answer. Their God has helped them. And the psalmist declares, the nations are right. You have helped us. And that makes us glad. You see, it wasn't just about bringing Israel home. It wasn't just about restoring his people. It was about God moving with his people in such a way that there was a testimony. God had always meant Israel to be a blessing to the world, and now nations of the world are rising up and noticing God, the Israelites, God is moving on their behalf, and there's hope, and there's life, and there's truth. The nations took notice. You have made us glad. Telling one story has always been powerful. Humans like stories. It's been part of our lives since we existed. But there's been a resurgence of the desire for story recently, even within the secular world, a tremendous desire for story. There is an organization called The Moth. They have a podcast that is essentially gathering stories, The Moth. And literally thousands and thousands of people go to this, listen to this podcast and go to their website and post their stories. And that's all it is, people sharing their stories. And it's powerful and it's real. And folks, it's a rather impressive situation and podcast and website. They started up in 2009. They now have 500 public radio stations. Their podcast, weekly podcast, is downloaded over 73 million times annually. And it's all about telling stories. And it's been particularly powerful during this pandemic. We like stories. But folks, we've got a story that's absolutely amazing. And when we tell it in the joy that is rightfully ours, when we share with the world what God has done, and there is joy in our hearts and our lives, it becomes so incredibly powerful. You see, when our hearts are filled with celebration at the Lord's renewal, the cause of Christ is furthered. In other words, people, when we tell our stories with the joy we should have, the joy that is rightfully ours, when we remember all that God has done and it changes our hearts and we're filled with joy and people actually see us living what we say we believe, people who have had deaf ears will start to listen. And people's lives can change. We have forgiveness from God Almighty. We are part of the family of God. We have been given a great purpose for life. We have the promise of a new life to come. And when that sinks into our hearts and causes us joy, we'll want to tell people about what we have in Jesus Christ. So my friends, let us shine forth the empowering truth of God's mighty acts. In our joy, when we remember what is ours, let's tell the world. We used to sing a song, "I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian." Well, folks, we need to be telling and we need to be showing in this act of joy. Celebrating all the little moments of victory. Celebrating when we see people making reconciliations and old angers and hatred disappear. When we see a change in the heart of people that cause them to reach out in compassion. When we remember that God is the God of glory who brings his people everything they need. The world will take notice and lives will be changed. Remembering what God has done and allowing that joy that is rightfully ours to flood through us. More joy will be created because there will be people coming to faith. And so we look at our very last truth that the psalmist gives us that is powerful and real. God's act of renewal brings a great reversal of fortune in our hearts. God's promised act of renewal brings a great reversal of fortune in our hearts. Because it is a promise. God is telling his people, I'm not leaving you alone. I haven't abandoned you. I haven't turned my back. I know what's happening. There will come a day when I will bring all of this to a close and I will give you, my people, all that you hope for. And with that, there comes a change. And the psalm becomes extremely beautiful at this moment because the people of God will one day see their sorrow give way to glorious joy. And it's expressed in two very powerful images. First, recognizing that they have been in a long spiritual drought, the psalmist said, "Would you please send your streams of joy to us like the streams in the Negev?" You see, the Negev was the desert south of Judah. It is what the Bible calls a wilderness. Every time you read in your scripture the word wilderness, don't think of Mississippi with thousands of acres of trees. They're talking about a desert. And in that desert are dry riverbeds called wadis. And they are dry as a bone most of the year, but twice during what the Bible calls the early rains and the latter rains, rains that come in fall and spring, God sends water to his land, and those dry river beds are flooding with water, changing the desert into a beautiful place where life can thrive. Because we want our joy restored like that. But then he turns to an image that is quite different. When the rivers are overflowing, it comes quick and fast. But then he turns to the process of farming, sowing seed and reaping. And it's a very plaintive statement about people who sow in tears, who sow in sorrow. But those who sow in tears and sorrow will one day reap in joy. When a farmer plants his seed and takes care of the field, He has to wait for harvest time. And the psalmist and his people are not given any hope of when that sorrow will be over, but they believe, just like we sow a seed and harvest comes, we believe God will move. Paul Brassey brings out the power of the text in a beautiful way, that those who go out sowing is quite literally going, he goes, and weeping. I know that sounds really weird to our ears, but going, he goes, and weeping. And then being said, they will come back in joy with songs, bringing in their sheaves. It literally means coming, he will come with joy. Coming, he will come with joy. And I want you to notice two things about that. Going, he goes, talks about repetition. He has to keep on sowing seed as long as the planting time will happen. Coming, he comes, is anticipation. It's promise. It's expectation. I know that one day the harvest time will come, and the psalmist is saying, in faith, this absolutely amazing confession of trust, God, I know that you are going to fulfill your promise. You are going to come, and we are going to have joy unspeakable again. We are going to be filled with laughter. Our hearts will be bursting with joy because your promises are true, and you are going to work with your people. You are going to keep your covenant, and we are going to trust that, Lord. And there will be a change in us. The sorrow, the pain, the hurt, the frustration will disappear. The tears will be dried up, and we will be filled with joy. When we remember the promises of our Lord, our renewal can see the beginning of the end of sorrows. It's not going to happen overnight, but folks, there's a promise here that we need to grab hold of, we need to embrace, we need to know. This beautiful moment tells us something important. God is going to move with us, just as he has done in the past. God is going to make himself known. This is the promise. The blooming time will come. And we will know the power of the Lord. People I love, people you love, people within our families are being touched in ways that frighten us, in ways that dishearten us, in ways that make it hard to see. But the scripture talks about us walking by faith, not by sight, by learning to trust. And we have a promise that one day the Lord of the Advent, the King of Kings, will restore us. And we will see the beginning of the end. Now, as long as we're here on earth, there will be sorrows. As long as we're here on earth, there will be setbacks. But remember, Advent is not just about pointing to the Lord's birth. And folks, that's the most important thing we can think of right now in terms of what God has done for us. He saved us. He brought us forgiveness. He gave us new life. He made us into something more than we could ever have been. And when we remember that, and then we push on to the memory, and he said, I will not leave you as orphans. And we remember the Holy Spirit has come into our lives. And when he says, I'm preparing a place for you, and one day I'm going to come back and bring you to myself, we have the hope that out there, God is going to move. And we start seeing joy. We start paying attention to little things that happen when God moves upon his people. Back when the pandemic started, I saw a news feed of a young 14-year-old African-American man who, to help his grandma, who was not able to do a lot of hard exercises, but to help her moving, he would go to her and he would show her gentle exercises out of his martial arts training. And then he thought, I can do even more. And he started going to local nursing homes. And to watch the video of this young African-American kid going into a nursing home that was predominantly Caucasian and watch how these people began to really love this young man was heartening and helpful and meaningful. And when the shutdown happened, he would go to his grandmother's house, stand outside her glass-storm door, and lead her in exercises. When he could no longer go back to the nursing homes, he would do live video so that he could exercise with his family, he called them. And we can rejoice in that. We can rejoice every time a Christian shows an act of compassion. Every time we live the life we say, we have hope, we have life, we have meaning, and God begins to bring the healing process. Because one day out of our mouths will come songs of joy, songs of laughter, songs that speak. That joy will be restored. So, my friends, let's recognize that the advent joy of the Lord will lift us up of the sorrow that overwhelms this world. We can't create biblical joy. Churches are not about being a pep rally. It's not about stirring up the emotions. What we're doing now is to remind us of the truth of God, to hear what God is wanting to say. And we take that to heart and we move. I can't create biblical joy by singing the happy song. But the Lord can move. And the Lord can touch. And in response to a faith placed in a God we know to be true, that joy can begin to manifest itself. And just like the world cannot comprehend peace that passes understanding, the world cannot understand the joy that is ours. But this Advent, in a days of sanctuaries that don't have people, in the days where quarantine and isolation has become, they've become parts of our vocabulary, we can have joy. We can truly have joy. And just as we have gone out sowing in tears, one day the harvest time will come. We can rejoice and we can know joy. Lee Bishop is a psychiatrist and he was a military reservist and he was stationed at an airfield in Afghanistan on Christmas Eve, 2008. And he watched several vehicles come up. And then he watched a very somber little moment when they took a steel casket draped with a flag and loaded it onto a plane. And it touched his heart because he knew somewhere in the U.S. people were going to be giving a Christmas package they never wanted. And it touched him. All too familiar part of war. But then he said in an article, Christmas in Afghanistan, he writes that something happened. He wrote, after watching the casket be unloaded from the military vehicle, I find myself walking along the main avenue of Bagram Airfield. All is different. Soldiers holding candles are belting out Christmas carols and with gusto. Down the street, luminaries brighten the walkway into the clamshell-shaped auditorium where cheerful groups of uniformed men and women enter for a Christmas concert. Two blocks away, the chapel is filling for the 6 o'clock Christmas Eve service. And he says that Jesus did not come just to provide an occasion to sing carols, drink toasts, feast, and exchange gifts. But we are right to do these things, even as soldiers die and families grieve, because he came. And in his coming, he brought joy and peace, the joy that overcomes our sorrows. And the only kind of peace that ultimately matters is the peace of which the end of all wars, terrible as they are, is merely one token. It is a peace that means the long war between the heart and the maker is over. It is a peace treaty offered in Bethlehem and signed in blood on Calvary. And he concludes, "So joy to the world and to every celebrating or grieving or hurting soul in it. The Lord has come. Let heaven and nature and even those who stand watch with lighted candles in the land of the shadow of death sing." We must remember, folks, if we're going to have joy this season, we must remember God's past acts of renewal. We must allow God's joy to infiltrate our hearts and our testimony. And we absolutely must know that God is able to turn our tears into hearts of joy. As hard as it is to believe, joy is possible even now. And if you're struggling, my prayer is that God will open your eyes and hearts to his joy. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, thanking you for all that is ours in that name. And God, I pray, restore our fortunes. Bring us back to a place of a thriving people who are not ashamed, who are not afraid, who will boldly stand for Christ and tell the world what we have in him. Help us, Lord. Bring your joy into our lives so that we may share it with others. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.